And I'm super excited. The surprise, and I know this is like, he's like, oh my gosh. Pastor Cap is coming up today with Brian. And this is, we're just so excited. Yes. We love Pastor Cap. And so we know that God has a word and a revelation that he's imparted in him. And we're excited and open, amen, to receive all that God has for us tonight. So let's welcome Pastor Cap and Brian as they come up. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we just bless you. You can stand or sit. I don't care. Father, we just bless you and we honor you and we give you the glory and the honor that's due your name tonight, Father. Father, we're just so grateful. Grateful to be here. Grateful to share your word and to spend time fellowshipping with one another and with the Spirit of God. And so we're just blessed tonight in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen and amen. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I feel like when I sang with the Backstreet Boys and I had, I'm kidding, my NSYNC mic on. And I apologize if I'm confusing any of you. Some of you are thinking, isn't this the shuttle driver? Or doesn't this guy tackle people in the lobby? Isn't that what he does? But hey, you gotta be instant in season or out, so. I'm gonna leave this on the floor here. That's my cape. You want to start?
Okay, we're going to be starting on page 89. Does everybody have an outline? If not, raise your hands. And I'm not sure we'll be bringing you an outline if you don't have one yet. So we're going to be starting on page 89, section B. And section B is titled, Why Does God Want Us to Be Blessed with Abundance? So it says there are two basic reasons God wants us to experience the blessing of abundant life. First, God loves us and wants us to enjoy life. And second, God loves others and he wants us to be a channel so he can bless others through us.
That first one, God loves us and wants us to enjoy life. You know, for some people, that's a difficult. They have difficulty with that. Some people have difficulty with the idea that God is a good God and that God actually loves us, cares for us, and wants to experience abundance in our life. I know I grew up in a denomination where God was an angry old man on a throne that, you know, had probably like a 4-foot club with a spike in the end. And, you know, anytime you messed up, he was getting ready to take you out with it. I even remember someone told me at one point that when you heard thunder, that was God getting up because he was going after somebody, you know. So, you know, you hear those types of things and you form your belief system, you form your doctrine, your perception of who God is based on some of these things that you heard and they're not true. And then when you go to the Bible and you find out that, wait a minute, this same God loves me, sent his son for me to die on the cross for me and stuff like that. You look at Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 and you start to look at the abundant life that God created for his first creation. They had everything in the garden. They had, first of all, they had fellowship with God. They could walk with him. They could talk with him. They could enjoy time together in the cool of the garden with God. They could name animals with God. They had a great relationship. They had everything that they need. They had resources. They had silver. They had gold. They had onyx. They had rivers of water. They had all kinds of resources. And it typifies the type of life that God has always wanted for his children. I believe that God's original intention is his eternal intention. And I believe that because the word tells us that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Lord God. He changes not. Right? And so so when you start to learn those things and to understand those things, you get a really good picture of God and what he really he wants for his children. And the second one, God loves others and wants us to be a channel so we can bless others, you know, through us. Well, I'm going to save that. We'll get into that part of it, actually. But, yeah, you can pick up from God wants you to be blessed.
So God wants you to be blessed and to be a blessing for others. So in light of that, in light of God wanting us to be blessed and be a blessing to others, we're going to go to a scripture. And the scripture we're going to go to first is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. And I'm going to read that, and then Pastor Cap is going to enlighten us about what the scripture is actually telling us.
So all the T's are together, folks, by the way.
So 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 17. It says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in certain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share.
Yeah, so it says here God admonishes the rich to be aware of two things. This scripture tells us that God gives us richly all things, not just some things. He doesn't portion out certain things and say, okay, you know, you can have everything in the refrigerator except for this, this, and the other thing. No, he gives us freely all things. And for what purpose? Well, we saw in verse 17 and verse 18, God wants us to enjoy some things. He wants us to enjoy. And we're going to bring balance to this. So don't get hung up on, you know, the idea that we're just having a talk tonight about how we can just be super abundantly blessed and it's all about us and it's all for ourselves. We'll talk about some other things here. But then in verse 18, we're encouraged to share. And that's part of the reason that God desires for us to walk in abundance so that we have the ability to share with others. Now, I found this. That sharing causes praise, causes thanksgiving towards God, not just in yourself, but in the people that you're able to share with. When you're blessed and you have extra to be able to share with others, that can be a very powerful testimony of the goodness of God in your own personal life, but also to the person that's being ministered to with whatever you're sharing with them. I remember years ago, my wife had a red Mustang, an 87 Mustang, and we were going to get a new car, and her car was still a decent car. It was still a good car, and so what ended up happening was she had called me up, and she said, I really feel like the Lord has blessed us, because I can't go into the details of this for a lot of reasons, but we ended up, right before this, getting a new car, brand new car. It was 3 months old at less than half the price on the vehicle. It was another sports car. It was an awesome car, probably my favorite car. I'm actually crying on the inside right now that I don't still have it. But anyway, but she called me up and she had said, like, listen, I really feel led to sow this into somebody else's life, to give this into somebody else's life so that they can be blessed. I want to sow this seed. And we did. I said, honestly, I have peace about it. Let's do it. So we blessed this. And this wasn't a car where, you know, the tires were falling off and the tailpipe was dragging on the ground and, you know, the steering wheel was facing this way and the wheels were going that way. It was a good vehicle. And so we blessed this young man. And he was kind of borderline in his faith at the time. He had gone through a lot of different things. But years later, when you talk to this individual, he was still thanking God from that moment, that moment of time, that God thought enough of him through somebody else to bless him with something like his own vehicle. He was somebody who was struggling, and here was somebody that came along. God put it on our heart to bless this individual with that, and it caused tremendous praise and, you know, thanksgiving. Not only in our life, we were honored to do it. We love doing stuff like that. But not just in our life, but especially in that person's. He got to see a revelation, a firsthand experience with the goodness of God in his life in that moment, just because God met a need through someone in the body of Christ. And so that's a big part of the reason why God wants us to have in abundance, to have things, not just for ourselves, but to be able to share with others, to be able to bless others. I guess we'll do the rest and then, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Good.
All right, so now we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 18. This is going to be a lot of reading, so stick with me. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting in verse 11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which we were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day.
So who is it that gives us the power to get wealth? It's God. It's God. And let me just tell you, you don't ever want to find yourself getting to that place. This actually reminds me of, I want to say, it's not Malachi, it's Haggai, or as Pastor Joe would say, Malachi, the Italian prophet Malachi. I don't actually know how to say Haggai, but I think it's the book of Haggai where the prophet is chastising the people or bringing them a message, and he's saying to them, you know, you work to put money in your pocket, but you got holes in your pockets. You drink, but you're not satisfied. You eat, but you're not full. You're not. And he said, here's the problem, guys. The problem is you're not putting me first. He said, my house is laying in ruins, and you guys are here building your own houses, feeding your own faces, drinking your own drink, and having a good time, and my house is laying in waste. It's laying in ruin. He said, if you get your priorities straight, guess what? Those things will be restored to you, you know? And so that's kind of what this reminds me of. But you never want to get to the place where you feel like it's all about you, that you're the one who can produce. And you're the one, now granted, you can produce to some extent on your own, but how much more can you produce with Christ leading you and directing you by the Holy Ghost and working the principles? We're going to talk about a powerful principle when we get to the next page, working the principles of God, because you see, most of the time that we're missing out on blessings in life, it's not on God's end. Hello? Do I get an amen that it's not on God's end? Wow, tough crowd. It is not on God's end. God is not withholding good from you. Psalm 84:11 or something like that. God is not withholding good from you. If there's a problem, most likely it's on our end, not on his. Amen. And so you don't ever want to get to that place where you're thinking that you don't need God either and that it's all about you. You can produce, you can carry on in your own strength. You always need to keep the perspective. In fact, I think we talked about it this weekend, Pastors Saturday and Sunday, with Abraham, the covenant. God said, I'll be your exceeding reward. I'll be your paymaster. I'll be the one who takes care of you. That's where you want to be, folks. That's the place where you're going to experience the good life in God. That's the place where you're going to experience God's abundance in your life. It says, why does he give us power to get wealth? To establish his covenant. And let's just read that part there. It says, to establish his covenant, God has always wanted his people to prosper. In the Old Testament, we see incredible wealth, well-being, and health of God's people. You can travel throughout the Old Testament, and you can look at all of the different places where God demonstrated his goodness towards his people. I like to look at the Old Testament as the book of track record. It's God's track record of faithfulness, because guess what? If he said it, he did it. And you saw that as you travel through the Old Testament. So we see that the people had incredible wealth, well-being, and the health of God's people, people blessed of the Lord, and their lives were a testimony of God's goodness, and they had the necessary resources to perpetuate God's covenant and bear the truth of his word. It's when you have the resources, when your needs are being met, and when you have that extra to be able to bless other people's life, it is a powerful testimony of the truth of God's word. And it's a powerful testimony of God working in your life personally. God wanted his people under the old covenant to be blessed and to be prosperous. How much more does God want his people under the new and better covenant, which is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 8? I believe it talks about Jesus being the mediator of the... Do we have that scripture up or no? I'll get there. It's ready. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. It says, but now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry, talking about Jesus, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. So the New Testament promises that we have better promises in the New Testament. Like I said before, I like to look at the Old Testament as God's track record of faithfulness so that you and I can have faith when it comes time for the New Testament promises that set us free in a bunch of different areas, like our finances and like our health and things of that nature. Jesus is the mediator of the better covenant. And it's all for this same purpose. It's all for this purpose of having abundance for the children of God. As Christians are blessed, our lives testify to the generous nature of our Heavenly Father. In addition, the body of Christ then has the resources necessary to proclaim the good news of the gospel around the world. I mean, you know, it takes money to preach the gospel. It takes money, it takes resources, it takes people, it takes buildings, it takes technology and all of those other things. And that's all part of the mission of reaching the lost. Am I like eating up all the time?
No,
here?
Not.
Okay. Are you just receiving? Are you kicking?
I am.
Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to actually start in verse 6.
Okay.
2 Corinthians, are you still out there? All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Does God want us blessed?
Yes,
he does. Absolutely does. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'm going to attempt this in this light with the small print.
Yes, that's a small print.
2 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, but this I say, which soweth sparingly, I'm sorry, I got the King James Version, so you just have to bear with me. Sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man, according to as he is purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a what?
Cheerful giver.
And it says here, He doesn't want to give. Let us not give grudgingly or of necessity. So here you go, God. You can have it. Like, go ahead and take.
I'm trying.
No, really, God. You can. No, just take it, God. No, that's grudgingly and right. But a cheerful giver has a different attitude. A cheerful giver is excited to give. And you know why they're excited? Because they understand the principle right before what we just read. They understand that when you sow bountifully, guess what? You reap bountifully. And it says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, he that ministers seed to the sower, both ministers bread and for your food, and multiplies your seed sown, and increases the fruits of your righteousness. So, who did he say he gives seed to?
The sower.
Yeah, you got to be a sower. If you're going to walk in the abundance of God, if you're going to walk in the blessings of God, guess what? You should understand this principle of sowing and reaping and become a sower. because he gives seed to the sower. If I'm a farmer and I've got corn here or whatever, and I just decide that, well, I'm kind of hungry right now, so, and I just eat the corn, guess what? I don't have any right to sit on the back porch and say, I don't understand this. Where's my crop? Where's your crop? You ate it. It's in your stomach. That's where your crop is. I wonder how many of us are eating our seed. How many of us are eating seed that was destined or predetermined to meet our need? You understand that?
Yes.
How many of us are eating our seed that's could be producing to meet our needs? Well, if you're not a sower, guess what? You're not going to have a crop. You're not going to have something that you're going to wonder why. You're going to say, I don't understand this. I don't understand, you know, why my bills aren't getting paid. I don't understand why my bank account is yelling at me. I don't understand, you know. Well, maybe it's a place to look. Maybe you're not sowing seed, or maybe you're not sowing enough seed. You know, I'll take it a little further. I wonder how many of us, am I allowed to get in trouble? I can meddle a little bit, right?
Absolutely.
I wonder how many of us actually take on the mindset or the attitude of checking up on the inside with the Holy Ghost when it comes to sowing seed. Checking up on the inside, saying, Lord, there's people. I'm coming to church this morning. There's 200 other people in the room, sometimes 250. 200 other people in the room, 250. I know that there's people that have needs of stuff and, you know, something. Surely you can speak to my heart, because if God can get it through you, he will get it to you. He will make sure that you have it so that you can get it out to somebody else. How many of us are not paying attention? How many crops have we missed because we're not sowing the seeds, or we're not actively listening to the Holy Ghost on the inside that's wanting to lead us, wanting to guide you, wanting to direct you? Why? Because he wants abundance for you. But if we're not listening, to the voice on the inside, we're not listening to the Holy Ghost, and not just listening, but then doing, guess what? We're going to miss out on the, and it's, guess what? It's not God's fault. I remember, and I may have shared this story before with some of you at different times, but just entertain me. I like this story for myself because it was a moment. How do I say? It was a school of the Spirit moment for me. It was a moment that the Spirit of God taught me something that I'll never forget. And it was probably one of the first times that it was a real burning bush moment for me, if you will. I was in Bible school out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I was working a part-time job. I was going to school full-time, working part-time, and, you know, I had a house back here in Jersey and bills to pay in Oklahoma and stuff like that. And, you know, life follows you. You know, you can't just quit life and go to Bible school for 2 years, you know. Life follows you. And so I was working a part-time job, and I used to have this bank account. It was called the blessing account. And at the time, like, I literally lived check to check. Again, being a Bible school student, I was living check to check. But I wanted to sow seed. It was on my heart to do that. I knew that I did not want to stop up the well. You know what that means? You understand what I mean by saying that? I knew I did not want to put myself in that position or my wife in that position. And so we set up a bank account. It was called the blessing account. And most of the time, it had about $25 in it, you know. And I would ask the Lord. I'd say, Lord, you know, I'm around all these students, whatever, you know. You got anything, any place you want me to sow seed? You got anything you want me to do here? And so one day, it was a Tuesday. We had this thing. It was called Exaltation. And during exaltation, it was like a chapel or prayer time, and all of the students, I guess 1,000, 1,500 students, whatever it was, would be inside Rhema's church auditorium. And I was up in the balcony section. Miss Lynette Hagen would lead prayer and let the students then just go off and pray on their own. And so I went up in the balcony, and I had my hands like this, and I was leaning over the balcony, you know, not over it, but on the balcony railing. And I remember I closed my eyes, and I'm just praying in the Holy Ghost, because I'm just praying out my future. And I opened up my eyes, and I see my eyes go right to this young man. His name was Charlie, went right to his face in this sea of people. And I heard the Lord say to me, "I want you to give him $50. I said, clearly this is me talking, because I got $25 in the blessing account. So must have been something I ate. That's cool. We can do that. We'll reset. So put my head down again, and I start praying. And I'm praying. And, I look. This time I open my eyes, and I look over here. And guess whose face? My eyes go right through the crowd to Charlie's face. And I hear it again. "Give Charlie $50. Okay. Clearly you're not understanding that I have 25 in the blessing account. Remember the blessing account. It's 25. And so I put my head back down, and I started to pray again, because, you know, I got to get two or three witnesses going on this. So I put my head down again, and I really did try to fake God out. I was doing one of these, like, you don't know which way I'm going to look, you know? Charlie was doing the same thing, apparently. because I opened my eyes, and guess whose face was there? It was. There was Charlie, and I said, okay, all right, well, we'll figure this out, I guess. I don't know. So I remember it was like 2 days later. I was off from work, and I said to my wife, I said, let's go pick up my paycheck, something I got to do. And so she drives around the back. I go up to the payroll window, and they hand me my check. I get in the car, and it was my beautiful sports car one. I got in the car, and Pam was driving, and I opened up the check, and I said, stop the car. And she's like, what? And I said, there's an extra $25 in this paycheck. And I said, I am not stealing this money from the company to go and bless somebody else with, because that's not going to be a blessing to them. So I'm going back in to tell them that they screwed up my check. I said, this is clearly a test. This is a test. I heard it in my head. This is a test, you know. So I walked back into the place, went up to the payroll window, and I said, here's my check. I said, it's an extra $25. And she's looking at me like, okay. I said, can we find out what happened here, whatever? And she said, she's looking at it, and she's like, oh, there's a code next to it. So she looked it up on the computer, and she said, oh. She said, remember the drawing you entered back in September? She said, some of it was prizes, some of it was cash, some of it was this, whatever. She said, you won the $25, and we're just getting around to putting it in your check now. And I was like, woo, praise the Lord. So I go, I take the check, and I'm like, Charlie's getting a $50 blessing, praise the Lord. So I went into school, I got the money, and I was just like, this is hot money, like, we're not touching it. Get me the cash, put it aside, and I went into school. And I remember it was right before Valentine's Day, because I remember walking into the classroom, and I said to the young man, I said, Charlie, I said, trust me when I tell you this, I am not trying to ask you to be my Valentine. I want you to have this. I feel like the Lord has given me the instruction to give this to you. He didn't look at it. He said, praise the Lord, thank you, brother, put it in his pocket, and walked away. So I'm thinking to myself, dear God, did I just miss it? Did I just give up $50? And then I thought, well, you know, I figured, whatever. I'm sure he could use it anyway. So the next period, I see him. He's running through the hall, and he's just like, you don't understand. You don't understand. And I said, what's up, Charlie? And he said, I was $50 short on my rent. And he said, and I told my landlord, I promise you that I will have it for you by the end of this weekend. He said, because I'm a man of my word. He said, I'm a Bible school student. I'm doing my best to walk by faith. And he goes, I've been looking for it in tips the past 2 weeks and nothing. And I said, well, that's because it wasn't supposed to come through your tips. God wanted to personally hand deliver this to you. So praise God. Here's your $50. Enjoy it. Be blessed. Pay your rent and so on and so forth. Now, I say that to say this, because that was only half of the lesson for me. About 2 months later, it was April 22nd. It was the night of April 22nd, and my wife's birthday was the next day. She was sitting on the floor doing the bills. She did the whole thing, and we had $3.24 or $3.23 or something like that left in the bank account, in the checkbook. So I was like, I was upset because I was like, what am I supposed to buy my wife for $3.23? I mean, maybe a piece of construction paper or crayon and happy birthday, best I can do, love you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I was pretty upset about that. And I went to bed. Woke up the next morning, which was a Tuesday morning. And I literally remember, I can actually see the scene in my head where I walked out of the apartment door. And as I crossed the threshold of the door to go outside onto the deck, I said, she's your daughter, Lord, you take care of her. And I closed the door and I went to school. I was just like, I am not going to even think about this. I'm not going to worry about it. I got other things to focus on right now. So I went to school. It was a Tuesday, just like the Charlie Tuesday. I was walking across the parking lot after Exaltation was done. There's all of these students coming out. And I see this guy, and he's traveling, zigzagging through the crowd, and he's yelling my name. So I stopped, and I looked, and I recognized him. And I said, he came over. He said, you're Joe, right? And I said, yeah. I said, you're Andrew. And he goes, yeah. He said, we had a cup of coffee back in September. And I said, yeah, or August. And I said, yeah, I remember. So he said, listen. He said, I was in Exaltation, and every time I started looking, he said, the Lord kept showing me your face. And he said, the Lord told me to write you this, and he wrote me a check for $100. I get choked up thinking about it. So, as when I was done crying and spinning and snotting and being emotional and hallelujah and all of that other stuff, the Lord spoke to me in that moment and said, if you had not given the 50, I could not have done the 100. So the lesson was, don't eat your seed. That seed is what produced the harvest that I needed down the road for my wife for her birthday. And praise the Lord, we went to dinner and I bought her a gift. And so, but that's the moral of the story is, check up on the inside, guys. God wants to set you up even more so than you. I mean, we all want to be successful. We all want to be blessed. But God even more so wants to be able to do that for you. And guess what? He knows better than we do, how to get there, right? And so he's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to direct you. But you got to ask on the inside, say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Ask him every day. Ask every situation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Where were we?
Charlie.
Good old Charlie.
Pastor Cap, can I ask you a quick question before we move on to Matthew 6?
Sure.
So we just read about how God loves a cheerful giver. But what if you're in a situation where God's telling you to do something and you're not cheerful about it? We should still do it, right? Like, it's still better to sow the seed.
Yeah, sure.
Than not do it at all. Like, right? You're not going to...
Yeah, I do believe that. I do believe that that's an act of faith, honestly. Honestly, this whole thing, what we're talking about here, is an act of faith, right? You could read the scripture and you could be like, oh, praise the Lord, that's cool. I didn't know God said that and that he wants to do that for you. And oh, yeah, I've heard about that principle before. But it's not until you release, you're releasing and refeeding your faith. How do I get this? So the purpose of the Word of God is going to do two things for you. The Word of God is going to either form new beliefs in your life, or the Word of God is going to help feed or establish things that you already believe according to the Word of God, right? So it's going to form beliefs or strengthen beliefs in your life. And so when you have principles like this, you can read them and you can agree with what you're reading, but it's not until you act upon it. It's not until you actually take God at His word. That's called releasing your faith. That is how you release faith. We take our action, and then what we do with it is we thank God for that principle. We thank God for that promise. Like, thank you, Lord. I'm sowing this seed right now. I trust, Holy Ghost, you told me to give 50. Thank you, Lord. You said that I'm to be a giver, and I'm being led by you, I believe, in this moment, and so on and so forth. And you act it out. You work it out. You walk through it. There's another side to this. I'll just drop it, but we can't really teach on it. But, there's times, too, that you can ask the Lord to guide you in specific things for your finances. I'll give you an example. Many years ago, I had wanted some credit card debt paid off, right? So every seed reproduces after its own kind. We understand that, right? So you sow in ones, you reap in ones. You sow in fives, you reap in fives. You sow in tens, hundreds, whatever. You reap in those, because every seed reproduces after its own kind. So I wanted some credit card stuff paid off. These were, several years ago. And so I said to the Lord, Lord, what are we going to do about this? I want to pay these bills off. I know you don't want me to owe no man other than to love them. So, what do we got? What are we doing? And so, the Lord showed me somebody, and said, I want you to start making a payment towards their credit card debt. And so, I spoke to the person. And I said, it's probably not an outlandish question, but do you have credit card debt? They said, yeah. And I said, okay, I'm going to make a payment of X amount towards your, and I continued to do that. And after several months, I was released from doing it. The Lord said, that's it. So my bills weren't paid off at that moment. But within the course of time, a very short course of time, finances came. And I literally not just paid off my credit cards, but I paid off like all of my debt. Oh, wow. And so you can put those principles in action. When it comes to these principles, that's what God gave them to us for, and that's why faith is so powerful. It's so important. I don't know why I keep going back to this, but it's so important. It's so powerful to not just agree with the Word of God, but to put the Word of God into action. Because that is called releasing your faith. Listen, James chapter 2 is all about it. James chapter 2 will tells you that faith without works is dead. It's dead. You know what a dead body does? It stinks. It does nothing. It stinks. It can't produce anything. It's unbeneficial. Guess what? Your faith without works does nothing. It's unbeneficial. It stinks. Make sure that you're releasing your faith through your actions and through the words that you're speaking as you are taking those actions. And guess what? This is the life of a Christian. This is the life of a Christian. This is what we do. This is how we live our life. This isn't a one and done deal. You don't just do it one time. This is the life of a Christian. We've been told the just shall live by faith, that we're to walk by faith. Guess what? Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that we please God with our faith, right? So there's so many things that we can do with our faith, but faith without the accompanying works is dead. It produces nothing. So get to it. Amen.
Moving on to the next verse, or next chapter and verse. That's going to be Matthew 6:33.
Y'all doing okay?
Yes.
All right.
So in Matthew chapter 6, I guess we got to start a little bit before 33. I guess we'll start in 30. So it says, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry of its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Yeah. I like the way it's summarized here, and it says, when it comes to the abundance of blessings and prosperity, divine health, it really is about the attitude of our heart. It says we need to keep our heart attitude right. It says at times Christians can be caught up in greed, covetousness, bless you, covetousness, selfishness, and pride. And if we aren't careful, we may begin to start thinking that God's word is a get-rich-quick scheme, or we can use God's word to parade our health and our wealth and faith, you know, through our faith. This is a dangerous way to think and believe. And I've seen that in the past. I don't know that I see it as much anymore. But I have seen it in the past where it was, in fact, for a little while, the church, not this church, but different segments of the body of Christ, they were referred to like the faith camps, which we're a faith church. We're part of the faith camp, but they would refer to like the faith camps as the blab it and grab it group. You know, like you just name it, claim it, blab it and grab it. You know, I remember I had somebody, and he had called the ministry. This was very early on, and he said to me, I had answered the phone, and he said, "Are you one of those name it and claim it, blab it and grab it churches?" And I said, I don't know what that means. I said, but I mean, I think I know how you're trying to use it. I said, but let me ask you one question. I said, are you saved? He said, yes. And I said, how did you get saved? And I said, you named it and you claimed it. You called upon the name of Jesus, and guess what? You received salvation that day. So if that's what you're talking about, that we can name the promises of the Word of God and we can claim them for ourselves and appropriate them in our lives, then we're guilty. Yes, we are that camp. Are we that camp that you're thinking of that thinks we can go around and just, I'm going to believe God for that other man's wife, or I'm going to believe God for that mansion and the, you know, and all this other stuff, crazy stuff? You know, no, that's not us. So, the Bible teaches us that the love of money is the root. The love of money is the root of all evil. God's not worried about us having things. He does not want things to have us. 1 Timothy 6:10, pride, including spiritual pride, goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's Proverbs 16:18. And this is the part that I like. Our motives must be pure, holy, and righteous. And I think Matthew 6, you know, just sums that up well, is that what is your heart? Where is your heart? These things that we're sharing in terms of the abundant life in Christ, if it's all about you, then you have nothing but a selfish doctrine. And it's off-center. It's not right. But when your heart is for the kingdom of God, God will get things to you to meet your needs and to make sure that you are able to be free to minister to other people in your sphere of influence. It's all about the heart issue. It's all about understanding the kingdom of God and setting your heart towards establishing the kingdom of God and advancing his kingdom. When our desire for the life of abundance is in order to advance God's plan and his will first, then guess what? Now we're in a position to receive his abundant blessings. Believers who are walking in the light of God's word and in his law of love are absolutely in a position to receive. And I like that because faith works by love. Faith works by love. And so when we're putting ourselves in that position, we put ourselves in a position to be able to walk in the abundance of God, the abundance, the principles that God shares with us in his word about obtaining the blessings in our life.
So moving,
yeah, we could do. Does anybody have a question that up to based on what we talked about at this point?
Just tell you real fast.
She's got a microphone coming. You're gonna sing for us now. Is that what you said?
Yes, I am. Okay. Yes, I am. I'm auditioning for the. Okay, a couple weeks ago. I used to worry about money all the time because I didn't have the background of what God does for me and how he loved me. Went to Bible school, learned everything that I could, and now I can practice and follow in my faith. So I have this friend who's a realtor.
A what?
A realtor. And a wonderful friend. And then I have a really good friend who was selling her house and buying another one. So I figured, since I trusted my realtor friend, I wanted my good friend to have somebody that she could rely on. So I put them together. And it all worked out. She sold her house. She bought a house. Everything was fine. And about 2 or 3 weeks ago, now this is a little while after it all happened, I went over to see my realtor friend, and we were talking, and she handed me a card, and it was around, it was after my birthday, but I hadn't seen her. So she said, this is just, you know, this is just, and I said, no, you know, we don't exchange birthday. No, it's not a birthday gift. I just wanted to tell you that I love you. I said, okay.
Yeah.
I get home. She gave me a $1,000 check from her profit.
Wow.
And it wasn't like I did this great thing. Mm-hmm. I wanted these people that I loved to get to know each other and work together. It wasn't like it cost me anything. And I opened that card thinking it was just a thank you card for whatever.
Yeah.
And there was a $1,000 check in there.
Yeah. Yeah. And
you don't know what that $1,000 did.
Sure. Sure. And I'm sure that number one, like we talked about earlier, I could guarantee you there was some praise and thanksgiving going on when you saw that check.
Oh.
Right? And it's a shot in the arm from God. It stirs our faith when we experience those kinds of things. It stirs our faith, it encourages us, and it helps us to continue to believe God. It adds to our track record that we have with God. You now know more about the faithfulness of God than you did before that check.
Absolutely.
Just because you saw his goodness in that moment.
It's so true. Yeah. It's so true.
Amen. Now she's going to sing the hallelujah. Now she'll sing the hallelujah.
You know, when I ask for something, I only ask once.
Yeah.
And
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you ask more than once, the rest aren't faith, you know. So. All right, let's just do this last little bit right here, and then. Oh, I'm sorry. Was there someone else?
You sure?
Okay. Yeah, let's do the last little bit here.
Okay, so section C is the balance because we must learn to be content. So it says, while God does want us to be blessed, at the same time, he wants us to be content in all circumstances. We are to expect and look forward to God's great blessings while being content with our current lot in life. This is not always easy. Trust God for an increasing measure of the abundant life, and don't allow yourself to grumble with discontent in your present status in life.
Amen.
And Pastor Cap is moving over to Philippians 4, verses 11 to 13.
Yeah, it says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere in all things, and I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. So what did the Apostle Paul say that he learned here? He learned that, listen, we all go through seasons. You know, Pastor Joe likes to say, "Where, you know, if you're on the high, that's great. But if you're on that downturn, you're in between prosperities right now, right?" So it's all a matter of perspective. It's all a matter of being content with where you are. It doesn't matter where you are right now. Right now, you can start where you are, and you can begin to do some of the things we talked about tonight. Take some of these principles and start putting them to work in your life. Start asking the Holy Ghost, what's the plan here, Holy Ghost? Do you want me to sow some seed? Do you want me to bless so-and-so? Do you want me to blah, blah, blah? And then be quick and be diligent to do it. And that waiting time, that time between, you know, Pastor Joe likes to do seed,
time
and harvest, right? And that's a very true statement. A lot of times it's that there's a little bit of time that goes on. But you know what? You don't stop sowing. You don't start you know, picking at your seed, uprooting it every single day with your mouth, like, well, I don't know, it's still not doing anything, it's still not producing anything. You know, that's, what is that? That's not being content with where you're at. Know that you're part of the process right now, and that God is, you know, faith worketh patience, and so God is working patience in you as you're on this faith journey. It's a faith journey. It's really what it is. It's a faith journey. And sometimes you're going to be in one season of life, and another time you're going to be, you might find yourself in an entire season of sowing. But guess what? Harvest day comes. Harvest day comes. So we need to learn to be content in those seasons.
So 1 Timothy 6:6 talks about godliness with contentment is great gain. 1 Timothy 6:6, godliness with contentment is great gain.
And then go to Hebrews 13:5, and then we'll close here, because it's 7:55.
You guys have Hebrews 5 up there?
13:5.
I'm sorry, 13:5. So it says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you.
Amen. Amen. I think that's, let me just see that scripture. What translation is that? That's new? Hebrews. Let your conversation be without covenants and be content with such things that you have. Is this regular? Yeah, it's King James. Okay. To be content, it says here. So what is God telling us in this verse? To be content does not mean that you have to forfeit your desire or your faith for all of the blessings God's word promises. It simply means that while you're in faith, and we already kind of really said this, while you're in faith for the blessings of God, learn to be content until they are manifested in your life. But guys, listen, if you're living a life of faith, if you're living your life trusting God, if you're living your life asking the Holy Ghost these types of questions, and you're asking God for his guidance and his direction, and you're actively, you know, seeking God in these things, there's going to be an expectation. You're going to be living a life of excitement. You're going to be living, and I don't mean excitement like you're going to go parasailing and power jumping. Like, I don't mean that. What I'm really saying is you're going to be living a life of expectation. A life of expectation. Why? Because faith produces expectation in us, right? So you'll know if you're in faith when you've got expectation, when you're expecting to see the harvest, when you're expecting to see God move, when you're expecting manifestations of his goodness in your life. That's when you'll know that you're in faith. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Any other questions before we close out? Carol? Yeah, sure. Just give Raina a moment to get there with the microphone.
It's John 4:38. It says, I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and now you will get to gather the harvest.
I think I heard you, but was there a question?
No, it was just a scripture.
Amen. Is it on the screen? Oh, it's up there. I sent you to read that after you not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. Amen. Honestly, in reality, you know, is there a time where others have sown and we reap? Yeah, guess what? You're sitting in a church where others have sown and you are now reaping the benefits of everything that they've,
Amen.
That those that have gone before you, so to speak, have sown. But let's just pray. And then, you got another one? No, there's no questions from either one of those two. Absolutely not.
Well, just to go back to, what was it? Hebrews
13:5. Yep.
Is with the contentment and is that also, does that go back to like our attitude in those situations?
Sure.
Because like when we're not in, we're not receiving the blessing or something and we're waiting and things like that, is that we should still keep our attitude of...
Absolutely. That's what I meant before when I said don't dig up your seed. Don't be, you know, cursing what you've done and, like, you know, pulling it up and saying, like, it's still not working. Like, it's still not working. You know, it's still not working just because you haven't seen the manifestation. There's a lot. When you plant a seed, I mean, think about it in the natural. You plant a seed, there's a lot going on underground, and you can't see what's going on. But you can't be sitting there saying, like, another year, no harvest, no crop. Like, this is crazy. This isn't going to work. I should have just ate the corn, you know, or whatever. You know what I mean? That's the life of faith. That is what faith is. Faith is knowing and trusting that you are taking that principle, putting it into action. And now you're just trusting and believing and thanking God in the meantime. That because that voice of praise, that voice of expectation is the voice of faith. So, amen.
Amen?
Let's pray. Father, we bless you for tonight. We thank you, Lord God, for your goodness. Father, we're so excited. We know that you have a good plan for our lives to give us a hope and a future, to bless us and to prosper us in all of our ways, Father God. Father, you're even more anxious and you're even more excited to see us abound in blessings, not just for ourselves, but more importantly, for those in our sphere of influence, for those in our communities, for those that are around us, that we can be able to testify of your goodness, that your covenant is established through us because they see, surely the Lord Jesus is with these people. They are a blessed people. There's abundance in their life, and they are a generous group of people. And so we just thank you for your goodness this night, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. You are all dismissed.